Welcome to my podcast, Today's Dream, Tomorrow's Reality. My name is Vicki Pohl. I'm a master transformational coach and hypnotist specializing in habit change. This podcast is sponsored by the Enlightened Peach, and it's all about embracing our mosaic life. And some of you may ask, what is a mosaic life anyway? Well, it is recognizing that all the pieces of our life, the good, the bad, the indifferent, have all come together to make us who we are. Change any one thing and we are different. With that in mind, I invite you to embrace your perceived imperfections and celebrate who you are. This podcast is unedited and raw, just like life. And I am your host, and I have a special guest with me that I will bring out in just a moment. But before I do, I would like for you to do me a solid, and that is to leave a comment, ask a question, and then also remember to like, subscribe, and share, because I have amazing guests on this podcast with amazing stories. And the only way that I can get their story out to a broader audience is with your help. So go ahead, make a comment, ask a question, like, subscribe, and share. So now, let's get started. So this is Gilberto, you say it, because it sounds so cool when you say it.
My name is Gilberto. Thank you.
Okay. But we actually met and we were at this, there's the group on Facebook that we both were attending, and it's a Speakers Speak is what it's called. And it's for people who want to be speakers. And so we happened to be in one of the breakout rooms and had a conversation, and it was so nice. And I enjoyed talking to him so much that I asked him to be on my podcast. So that's how we know each other. And other than that, I really don't know a lot about you. So I really want to dive into some of your history and the things about your life that you want to share with everyone. But before I do, maybe just tell them just a little touch about you, and then we'll get into me asking all kinds of questions.
Great. So yeah, that's how we met. It was a pretty great meeting. I enjoyed it and I appreciate the opportunity to be here. And well, you know how professional speakers need to be creative and engaging, but also they need to run the whole company, meaning the marketing, the finances, and every other little process that a company needs just for it to run.
Right.
Well, what I do is I work with professional speakers so they focus on what they're passionate about, creating, being that force that moves the world forward. And they can rest assured that everything in the back end is being taken care of so they can further their business. So that's what I do.
Ah, beautiful, beautiful. I love that. And you know, it's interesting because I don't know if you're like me, but I keep tweaking and changing all the things that I do. You know, it's like it's all a discovery process, right? And yeah. I've discovered one of the things that I really love to do is to help speakers or people that are keynote speakers are going to networking events where their people are trying to get their voice out, right? Wherever it may be, whether it's with a partner or a friend or anything. But there's so many pieces of that, which is our negative self-talk and our beliefs. So that's what I've started working in, because since I'm a hypnotist, I've started working a little bit in that. And so I love that you're doing the technical stuff for them. Am I understanding it right?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. And so you're doing the technical stuff with them. I'm helping them with their mindset. And then they're going to this class so that they can learn all the techniques and stuff. So with us, they're kind of golden, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Yes, we're a great combo.
Yes, yes, yes. So where are you from exactly?
I'm from El Salvador. I'm located here in El Salvador, actually. And that's why I have an accent. And now that you mention it, that's one of the things that I think of myself that makes me nervous. I don't know. A little bit of an imposter syndrome, maybe. I know what I know, but I get nervous because when I need to speak with native speakers, I know that you can notice that I'm not from around.
Well, You know, like I said before, you know, I'm from the South, so I can go all over the United States or in another country. And first thing they say is you're Southern, you know, it's not necessarily saying that there's anything wrong with it. It's just that you can tell you were raised somewhere else. That's all. And so I've got some friends that are Australian, Canadian, you know, UK, and they all have that distinctive sound to them, you know, and I love accents. I really do. Like, that's why I wanted you to say your name, because it just sounds so beautiful when you say it. But I say Gilberto, you know, it doesn't have that flair, that finesse that your accent gives it. So, you know, embrace it. I mean, because, you know, it's a beautiful sound, right?
Thank you so much for being too kind.
Yeah. No worries. It's the truth. It's the truth. I'm not just blowing smoke, I'm telling you. So what I want to ask is, so how did you always kind of know you wanted to be a speaker, or was this something that just came to you one day? It's like, poof, I want to be a speaker. How did that come about?
It's super curious, actually, because I have always found easy to speak in public since I was in school. And I thought that was a talent, but that was it. That was all that it was to it. And I got to meet Dave Bricker, who I work with. He's the professional speaker that I'm working with right now. And I fell in love with professional speaking. And I noticed that there's so many things that I could learn and that I could develop. So that's how my journey started. And I have been working with him for a couple of years now, and I have discovered a lot. I have applied a lot as well. I'm a teacher, so I work with professional speakers and I teach. And
you teach English, right?
I do.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Cool.
I do. So I take everything that I learn, everything that I have been gathering this past 2 years, and I apply it in my daily life, and I have seen how everything has improved. So yeah, I'm definitely falling more and more in love with professional speaking.
Yeah. Well, it opens so many doors. For one thing, when you can speak professionally, you have this ability to communicate your thoughts a lot easier. You know, you can always tell when someone is a speaker normally, because they're more articulate in the way that they say things. And then they have this rhythm in their speech that a lot of times people don't have, you know, because most people, when they get in front of a bunch of people and they're wanting to talk, they start talking really, really fast because they get so nervous. It just makes everything faster and the voice goes kind of crazy and stuff. So it's a beautiful thing to see a speaker to actually speak and be able to grab the audience and talk. So when you do your speaking, what are you typically speaking on?
Well, as I told you, I'm just beginning and I'm using what I've learned in my teaching. So basically it's just teaching English as a second language to people who speak Spanish mainly. And what I have gathered are techniques to engage the people that I'm speaking to understand my audience, to understand if I'm speaking to a group of teenagers or a group of adults or a corporate group, what should I do to engage them and to keep them engaged throughout the class so I can see that transformation, not just data dumping the information that is in the book, but really seeing that transformation to where they can understand the topic that we're studying and where they are improving.
So do they kind of adopt some of the speaking techniques that you're learning?
Yes.
As you're teaching them?
I think so. I would like to think so. Yeah. I have told them that I'm involved in this amazing world of professional speaking, and that they have noticed that having some techniques and learning a little bit about speaking is such a great tool for everything in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And you know, it's a funny thing. I was talking to someone the other day, and For most of my life, I remember always wanting to be the center of attention, but I was a middle child. Mm-hmm. So, you know, middle children typically are a little overlooked. So they're always trying to get somebody's attention, right? So even videos when I was a little kid, my dad had this video camera and I was always the one that was making faces or popping up and photobombing everybody, you know. So I always wanted to be in front of the camera. And I loved it. And even through high school, I ran for, you know, the school office stuff, you know, the political stuff. I did all that, was, you know, president of the art club. But then what happened is after I got out of high school, you know, you get into relationships and different things where people are maybe not so supportive, right? And I started doubting myself, and I got where I tried to make myself a lot smaller. So I didn't want to get people's attention and things like that. And so it's taken a while for me to get out of that space and back into being me. And that's one of the reasons why I started my podcast, because I wanted to be able to speak to people and just feel like I could say whatever I wanted to say and just learn about people. And so did you ever have a time like when you were growing up that you kind of felt that you wanted to do something to where you were, you know, wanting to be in the public eye in some way, but that some things were holding you back and made you feel like you said, you might have a little imposter syndrome right now, but that's just because of the English thing. But is there something like that in your story where you had to kind of pull yourself up and say, I can do this?
It's super, super interesting because I was the complete opposite of you. I knew I could speak in public. I knew I could like present for my partners in the university and school, and I felt comfortable with it, but I always considered myself to be a shy person. I always tried to be on background and understand the world and see the world from my own perspective. But I do enjoy being able to provide something for the people that I'm speaking to. That's something that I learned when I was really young. And now I have to say, I love teaching. That's one of the favorite things that I have. It's not a job, but I get paid for it. So it's a job, but I love it. I love it.
It's a love that you get paid to do, right?
Exactly. That's exactly it. So coming back to your question, Yes. Recently, I've been feeling like I have to let go of my shyness, and I know that I can learn much more. And I see many opportunities opening. So I would love to, be able to be more confident, be more myself, and be in the moment.
Yeah. Beautiful. I love those thoughts. I really do. So when you're working with speakers and you're helping them with the technical stuff, so how did you get so proficient at this technical stuff?
By doing them.
Okay.
I met Dave and we started, he had an idea of what he needed, and we started developing process, and we started developing the whole structure, marketing structure, finance structure, and everything to make sure that he could be the creative portion of the team and I could help him out maintaining the work that he's doing. And throughout these 2 years, I have learned a lot of skills that I'm thankful for. Mm-hmm. And by doing. That's the complete answer, by doing.
Okay. Well, then let me ask you. So let's say there's somebody that's listening right now and they're getting into their speaking learning process and they're really wanting to take it, you know, to the next level, and they're having problems with their technical stuff. So how do they get you to help them? What's that process look like? Because I'm assuming you do that for other speakers too, right?
At the moment, I'm just working with Dave, but I'm open, of course, in the future to help other people. Mm-hmm. Of course, you can contact me at Gilberto Rodriguez at in LinkedIn. I'm sorry. That's
okay. I'll put the link in the description too, so anybody that wants to can reach out to you.
And yeah, absolutely. The process is just getting to know their business, how they're trying to or how they're doing things and what they're trying to accomplish, of course, and what they're lacking, what their strengths are, what their areas of opportunity are. And I think I have gained a little experience to be able to notice what areas of opportunities I can help them with. So, yeah.
Simple. So do you help with like the marketing part of it too? Or is it, so you help with the marketing? And I see Dave has some amazing little things that come up everywhere, you know? And so I'm assuming that must be some of your doing, right?
Yeah. Okay. It's the creative portion. But I maintain the website. I maintain the podcast.
Did you create the website?
He created it. And okay. He showed me how to maintain it and to add to it, upload pages, upload videos, edit videos, and every single detail I learned by doing, as I said. And yeah, that's what I do marketing wise. I maintain the page and I also automate his cold outreach marketing, let's say, that he does through cold emails. And through some calls as well.
Okay. So how did you meet Dave?
There's a company here in my country that contacted me with him.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Very cool. Yeah. So it's been a great relationship to have then, right?
An amazing relationship, actually. Yeah. I've learned a lot and I didn't know that I would fall in love with public speaking and professional speaking until I met Dave and until I started doing this. I studied business administration. I know a little bit about marketing. I know a little bit about finances. I know a little bit about processes. My profile was something that he was interested in. And that's how we met and we clicked and we keep on working. And I hope that relationship continues into the future.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. You know, you hear about people hiring someone to help with little things and stuff, and you just assume that that's how it always stays, you know? So that's amazing. I love that. And so definitely, you know, like I said, I'll put your information in because only thing I have is the LinkedIn, right?
My email, okay. My personal email.
Okay. So I'll put that in the description. So anybody that wants more information about what you do, they can reach out to you and get more information. But I'm really intrigued with the dynamics of you teaching these. So you're teaching children and adults English, correct?
Teenagers, right? And adults, yes.
Okay. And so as you're doing all of that, where did you begin to learn English yourself?
When I was a child, my mom always had that vision that English is a universal language. You can communicate with a lot of people with it, not just the United States, but around the world.
Right.
And it would open doors for me. And yeah, as a child.
Smart woman.
Oh, yes. She is amazing. She's a saint.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, she had that vision and she enrolled me when I was little and I learned.
So she enrolled you in some kind of school near your home or something where they taught English to children.
Exactly.
Right? So do you have siblings?
I do.
So did everybody learn English as good as you?
No. No, my sister didn't like it as much. She is more of an artistic person. And that's where she shines. And English wasn't that difficult for me. I know it's not perfect, but I think I learned enough.
You sound pretty damn good, I will tell you.
Thank you.
I don't have a hard time understanding you at all. So that's beautiful. And so your mom, how old were you when you started learning English?
Eight or nine years old.
Okay. So when, I don't know how the school system is there. So you were probably like in the second grade or something like that.
Second grade, second, third grade is similar to the U.S. system.
Yeah.
And I was going to regular school where they teach you math and everything. And I got to that special English school so I could improve that skill.
Oh, wow. I hope you tell your mom all the time how much you appreciate that.
I do. I do. I have the luxury to have her still with me. And every time I have to spend time with her, I enjoy it. And I tell her how much I appreciate her.
Yeah. So does she speak English?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Yeah, okay. She does. Yeah. I was just wondering, you know, you see people all the time that from foreign countries that don't speak English and their children are doing all the translating because they've learned, but the parents didn't.
Yeah. No, my mother is a saint. She's a genius. I'm really proud of her. And she's an engineer and she learned how to speak English because she needed it for her work. She works with a lot of companies in the U.S. So, yeah. And that's how she saw that it was really important. And she tried to pass it on to us.
Ah, I love it. I love it. So your mom's a saint. She's an engineer and she passed a lot of amazing talents over to you because you're definitely good with the English and being able to teach. Cause you know, the one thing I've learned over the years is some people may know what they're talking about, but they can't really teach you how to do it yourself. It's like they miss something, you know, where I guess they've known it for so long that they forget the things that help you to learn. And so it's not just language, it's a lot of things. And so to me, I always love teachers that can teach because they just simplify things so much. And I remember when I was in high school, especially, I had a math teacher that I'd always had a problem with math, but this teacher, man, I don't know what it was that she did, but she broke math down to where it was beautiful. I could do it without a problem. I had to actually help people in class. Well, then when I got to the next level where she wasn't my teacher anymore and I got the next teacher, not such a good teacher. And I was right back to that place where I don't understand. And so it's a gift to be able to teach others.
Yes, I do think that it is a gift. But I think as well that is a skill that you can develop. As I said, professional speakers know that there's a huge difference between data dumping something and delivering transformation. And that's what I try to do. I have come to understand that transformation is what I was looking to do when I'm teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, yes, having tips and skills and everything that you can learn from a book are great, but the best thing you can do as a speaker is listen as well.
Yeah.
Listen
yeah.
and understand your audience. And once you understand your audience, how they think, what motivates them, what bores them, then you can approach and really, as you say, deconstruct the topic so they can ingest them pretty easily.
I think. Yeah. Beautiful. Well, so when you're thinking about the speaking and the teaching and all that, is there something important that you would like to give this audience that's listening or watching today? What is it that you really want to let them know?
Well, everybody's speaking. If you're looking for a job, you're speaking. If you're negotiating for a raise, if you're negotiating for a sale, if you're communicating with your partner, if you're communicating with your job environment, even if your job is not directly speaking, you're speaking. And it's not the same to know how to talk, to speak and connect with your audience. So I think it's really important for everybody to understand that gaining these skills, learning a little bit about how communication works is a great skill that will further not only your career, but your personal life. So yeah, that's what I think I would leave them with.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. And, you know, cause that's one of the things that I think a lot of people are you know, like I said earlier, they have like a mental block about being able to communicate. And because that's really not what we're taught, you know, in school, we're taught how to speak a certain language and we're taught how to diagram a sentence. We're taught all the little intricate things about what's proper on the written word and how things fit together. But as far as being able to stand in front of people and deliver a message so that everybody grabs it and understands what you're saying, it's definitely something I think it would be so amazing if they had something like that in school for the students, because just think how they would show up when it comes time to, you know, to get into college, if that's what they choose to do. They would show up totally different and be able to command the audience, you know, because having seen a good speaker, man, it's like they just kind of draw you in and you're on the edge of your seat listening, you know, what are they going to tell me, you know? And so it would be such a great gift to have. That's one of the reasons why I've kind of started working on the mindset with some speakers and different things like that to help them to get out of those blocks. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful that you don't seem to have ever had any of those blocks.
Mm. I wouldn't say so. I wouldn't say so. I would say that every day is a challenge. Every day you have to battle with what I said on the imposter syndrome of what am I doing here? Why am I working with people that are not even in my country, that maybe I'm not going to look ever to their face? Or why am I doing this? They don't understand what when I'm speaking, or I don't understand. Million of ideas cross your mind when you have imposter syndrome. And I think the first step to overcome it is to know that you deal with it and you're not the only one dealing with it. A lot of people do. Right. And yeah, it's an everyday challenge, but I feel like I'm improving every day. And that's gratifying as well, to know that in the past, I was not as good as I am right now. And I'm sure that I will get better.
Definitely. Well, you know, one of the things that I believe is that a 1% change every day makes exponential difference over time. And so we develop something new today, and then tomorrow we look back and that's our new normal. So we don't even notice it anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things, like, I would love if you have, I don't know if you have recordings of when you've spoken before, but mm-hmm. You might want to, if you don't do this, you might want to go back and watch some of those old recordings. And that gives you such a greater sense of the difference. It's just like, you know, for someone who's lost a whole bunch of weight, they can go back and look at those pictures of, well, yeah, I have changed a lot, right? And so sometimes I think it's important that we have those measuring sticks to go back and see the difference, because like as we change, we don't even recognize that we've made these changes. It's amazing. It just becomes who we are. And so it's beautiful. And I heard a speaker one day, he was on, he has a big channel on YouTube. And he said, you don't even want to see the videos from when I first started doing this. And my first thoughts were, where are they? I want to see them.
Yeah.
Do you ever go back and look at old videos?
No, that's a great tip. And that's what I was thinking about. I know that it's your podcast and you're interviewing me, but I would love for you to give me some tips right now, if you can, or what should someone in my position do to improve? That's a great tip that I will take into account, and I will go and back and look at my videos before. And yeah, whenever the podcast comes out, I will look at it and see what I've changed and what I need to change. So what other thing could I do?
It's more of seeing how much growth you've had, mm-hmm. you know, not necessarily for what you need to change now, because you're still in that process of learning and growing and changing, and mm-hmm. you're doing amazing. The thing that a lot of people tend to have, that's why I was asking you some of the questions. A lot of people have this, you know, not just imposter syndrome, but they feel like they just don't measure up, that they can't seem to they compare themselves to other people, and they get into this place of, I'm just not good enough. And, you know, this is useless and I'll never speak, or they get so caught up in worrying about what people are going to say that it just kind of closes them down and they lose their ability to speak, even though they have all the tools and the gifts and the talents and everything. It just kind of slows them down. So there's different processes that I take people through, and I'm a hypnotist. So I actually do some of that through hypnosis to allow them to make those changes inside. Because what happens, I don't know if you know much about hypnosis.
Not at all.
But what happens is that we have the conscious mind and we have the subconscious mind. Mm-hmm. And so you can agree to that, right? Mm-hmm. But the conscious mind, we're only using that 12% of the time. So 12% of the time we're using our conscious brain. The rest of the time it's our subconscious mind. So our subconscious mind is filled with all the things that people have told us over our lifetime. You know, if we fell down and skinned our knee and nobody came and hugged us, if we were attacked by an animal, whatever it is, all of that stuff is stored there. And so when you do things sometimes, like if you're wanting to be a speaker, mm-hmm. and one time when you were in elementary school, you raised your hand and the teacher said, well, Jimmy, what's the answer? And you said the answer and everybody laughed because it was not the right answer. Then you have that stored in your subconscious mind. Mm-hmm. And when you start to get on stage and speak, you feel those same feelings. You may not remember that instance, but you have those same feelings of the palm sweating, the embarrassment, almost wanting to cry, all those feelings that you had at that time, right? Mm-hmm. And so what I do is I help to, you know, navigate around that so that you can let the emotions and everything be gone and you still keep the learning part of it. And then I help you decide what is it that you want to experience when you get on stage. And so I work with that. And there are some, pardon?
Super interesting. I'm sorry to interrupt
you.
Yeah,
that's okay. Well, it is. That's one of the reasons why I got into it, because it is such an intriguing thing. And I've got 5 certifications and I'm actually going through another one, which is a whole different way of processing it all. And so I'm constantly learning, just kind of like with you, with all your stuff. I'm constantly learning with what I want to do and how I can help. One of the things that might be beneficial for you, other than looking back to see how far you've grown, it's that as you're learning things, to take a moment to just kind of acknowledge that, oh my gosh, I didn't think I could do this and I just figured this out. And as you're doing things, you're really acknowledging the gift and the learning, and then you actually can get into the feeling of how that feels, and you can take that with you more. So it's a lot of, you know, getting rid of some of those old beliefs that you might have. And sometimes we don't know we have them. And like I said, you know, the little instance with Jimmy raising his hand and getting laughed at. And I don't even remember if I said Jimmy, well, I don't know what his name was before, but with doing that, it's like, it's not a distinct memory. It's an emotional memory that's there. Okay. And so it's recognizing some of that too. So like if you were to get up on stage and you notice that every time you get up on stage, that right before you step out, you get this feeling of something or you get scared, then it's kind of looking at that. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that's really good, and I've heard this from other people, it's like the emotion of excitement and fear almost feels the same way in the body. You know, your heart rate changes, you know, your palms may sweat, you know, you get that nervous feeling in your stomach. That's the same feeling that excitement is. Mm-hmm. And so if you start feeling anxious right before you get on stage or something, you just kind of reframe it. And instead of saying, I can't believe I'm so nervous about this, you can say, oh, I'm so glad I'm excited. And you start changing how you're talking about it, and that starts changing the actual physiology in your body.
Those are such great tips. Thank you very much. I think everybody has had that instance of someone laughing at them or someone saying or making them feel embarrassed. Mm-hmm. And but everybody as well, I think, has those opportunities to realize the changes that they're making throughout their life and the things that they're learning. And well, I think that's absolutely beautiful, and I will take that into account. I will start using that tip that you mentioned, that whenever you're feeling nervous or anxious, put it into a, or convert it into a positive emotion. You're doing this because you love it, because you like it, not because you're going to bomb. And even right. if you bomb, it's not going to be the end of the world.
That's right. That's right. Beautiful. Well, I hope that helps you in some way. And I hope anybody that's watching or listening, if they're wanting to speak, and it, that could be just speaking to someone at work, or, you know, some people have this anxious feeling. Like I have this one client who was a keynote speaker, but she couldn't go to networking events because she said she could stand up on the stage and do her thing all day long.
But one-on-one, it was more difficult.
Pardon?
One-on-one, it became more difficult.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm. She just couldn't handle it. She would hide in the corner. She said if somebody came up to her, she'd break out in a sweat. So I worked with her to where mm-hmm. she could actually go to networking events. But it's interesting how we can be so amazing in this one place, but mm-hmm. then you put us in, like, you would think somebody that could get up on the stage and talk to everybody would be able to talk to one. But no, it wasn't that, it wasn't that way at all. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that it's really beautiful to have a skill that you can develop and skills that you can develop around that specific skill, and being able to open your mind to say, hey, I'm not that good at doing A or B. Let me invest time, invest effort in myself to do this. I think that is beautiful, and I think everybody should be doing that. And I think a day is not wasted if you learn something, or if yes. you worked on something for yourself. So
yeah,
your work is inspiring.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, you know that old saying, if you're not growing, you're dying. So yeah, you know, it's an important thing to do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I can agree with that.
Yes. Well, you know, it has been such an amazing gift to have you here today. And I'm so glad that I met you in that class, because it's like, that was my first time ever there. And it's like, I don't know anybody, but it was like, I felt connected to you right away. And so I had such a great conversation, and I'm so grateful that you came on today and shared some of your story. And definitely tell your mother I said hello.
Absolutely. Maybe everybody's going to think that I'm a mama's boy, but whatever. Hey, that's okay.
I say there ain't a damn thing wrong with being a mama's boy. Your mama did good by you.
She did. She yeah, did. Absolutely.
She did. Yes.
But yeah, I appreciate you. I appreciate this opportunity. And yeah, I'm just starting on my journey of public speaking or on professional speaking. And I look forward to the time that I can look at this podcast and see, hey, I have improved.
Yes. That's yeah. it. You'll say, wow, look how much I've grown now.
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking forward to that day. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
My pleasure. And I hope to be able to keep connected so that I can see your growth too, because it's lovely. And, you know, and so I want to just remind everybody that I'm going to have all of, I hate saying it Gilberto, because it just doesn't sound as well, but okay, I just can't say it like you do. But I'm going to have all of his information in the description so that you can reach out and connect with him on his social media. And then it has his email address as well, so you can look him up on LinkedIn and connect there. And I think I connected with you on LinkedIn too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah. So wonderful. And so one of the things that I ask everybody that's watching or listening to, make sure that you can ask some questions in the comments, ask him, you know, how he, in anything that you're curious about, just put it in the comments. And then he can, once it's, when as we get it up and out, then he'll be able to check that at any time and see and answer questions. And so I'd love for people to be able to connect with you there. That would be great.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing, yes.
And then remember to like, subscribe, and share, because that's how this gets out to a broader audience. And so I appreciate everybody that is here watching and listening. And like I said, Gilberto, did I say it better?
Yes. Gilberto.
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 Well, I'm Southern. I can't say it right, but that's okay.
Don't worry about it.
I just so want to do it. So you have a very blessed evening. Make sure you said hello to your mom from me, because I'm so in awe of a mom that takes that initiative and makes sure that her son has all the tools that he can use for a better future.
Thank you. I will. I absolutely will.
All right. Beautiful. So thank you so much. So I'm going to leave everybody with this quote that I just love. The best way to predict the future is to create it. What are you creating? And with that, I say, mwah.